Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is Dale Jackson welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry. It takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology. Speaking the truth in love is our purpose, and to give the lamp and light to all. Now, here is our teacher and pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
Yesterday in our study of Nahum chapter 2, we were taught that fulfilling the Great Commission is more than just getting people saved and baptized. Better listen today.
Plant my feet on his firm foundation, for the Bible says.
Now, when I go to Israel, people want to be baptized in the River Jordan. So I tell them, I make sure they know, well, the baptism you got after your salvation is the one that fulfills what Jesus commanded. However, if you want to get baptized in Jordan because Jesus got baptized here, I say you got baptized not to show that you got saved, you got baptized to fulfill all righteousness. So it's all right if you want to get baptized, and I'll even baptize you, or if your pastor's with you, he can baptize you. And matter of fact, when pastors go with me, if they want to be baptized, I tell them I'll baptize them and they can baptize me. So it works both ways. But I don't know. That thing is not an obedience, but rather we are simply identifying before all those Jews over there that may be watching, anybody else watching, that we identify with Jesus Christ. Now, it's not a command to do. And I believe that most people want to do it because there's just some kind of a special feeling of getting baptized. We're in the same river that Jesus got baptized in. Now, you don't know the very spot he got baptized in, which I am glad that we don't know the very spot in the river he got baptized in, or you would worship that spot. Okay, so I'm glad we don't know that. But we do know the river. Now, river's not to be worshipped. And if you see all this catfish in there, you know that it's not a holy river. I mean, even while you're baptizing, you see catfish all around you. So I'm just saying that I don't mind doing that, but hey, I love being identified with Jesus Christ among all people. And again, there's only one baptism. And that baptism takes place after your salvation. Now, the one baptism we read of in Ephesians is talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The moment you were saved, you were baptized by the Spirit of God into the body of Christ. And so, we should encourage baptism and let them know that we have been risen no longer to serve sin. And then the third thing of the Great Commission is to edify. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 11, we're told about that. Now, I don't know if you really have given that much thought, but we are told, we are told about being a witness, being an edifier. As a matter of fact, 1 Peter 5 tells us to do that, and the first four verses tells the pastors there to do that, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and verse 11 that I just mentioned to you just a moment ago, there we're told, wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. Now, the reason I'm pointing that out, because this third part of the Great Commission is something that's not that you just do one time, like you only get saved once, you only have to be baptized once, but this third part is you continue to edify. You continue to build them up in the faith. It's not a one-time thing. It's a thing that continues. And that is why that when you get to 1 Peter, that they're told to feed the flock which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly. Not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither has been lords over God's heritage, but has been examples to the ensembles to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Now, so he's telling them, keep on feeding them, feed them, feed them, feed them. Didn't Jesus tell Peter that? Jesus told Peter, there in John chapter 21, he says, lovest thou me? He said, yea, Lord. He says, then feed my lambs. He asked him again, yea, Lord, you know I love you. Feed my sheep. And then he asked him a third time, and Peter said, Lord, thou knowest I love. He says, then feed my sheep. Now, before you write me, I just want to tell those people that might try to write me, yes, I know that there in John chapter 21, that the first two times Jesus said, do you agape me? And Peter said, Lord, I feel you. I have a strong, strong, close, best friend friendship for you. But the third time Jesus said, Peter, do you filio me? Do you have that even strong friendship, love? And Peter is brokenhearted now because he has denied him three times. God, I believe, had already forgiven him of that. But now, and I think that we saw that when he appears to them the first time there in the upper room after all the windows are closed and they're there. But now he's appearing to them there at the seaside. And I imagine the memory is still there of Peter of that. But the Lord is telling them, feed my sheep. Even if you just have a strong friendship love for me, not an agape love, feed my sheep. You know, edifying is very important to our Lord. Men, I want to talk to you. This is exactly why you as men, you as fathers, should have a personal time in the Word of God for yourself. Get up in the morning. If you've got to get up, look, if you've got to get up 30 minutes earlier than you normally would, get up 30 minutes earlier than you normally would. When I was about 25, 26 years old, I went away to college. I was married. I had two children. One of the things I did is I got rid of a television that we had because I knew that, boy, if I had that television, I might stay up and watch that and not do homework, things like that. And I needed to stay in the Word. As a matter of fact, until 2014, from 1974 to 2014, there was never a day I missed in the Word of God. The day I missed was the day I was laying up in a hospital from a stroke. And I actually got tears in my eyes over that. But and yet while I was there, and I could have read if I'd had the classes and maybe a large print Bible, like I have to have large print right now, but, you know, I did think on some verses, and I did think about some of those things, but they also had me drugged up, so I remember thinking on some verses, but that was about it. Just, I didn't read, and I know God knew it, but boy, I felt bad. I just really felt bad. And I haven't missed a day since. But what I'm saying, I'm not trying to glorify myself. What I'm trying to tell you is this. I realized when I got to college that if I was going to walk with God, I'd have to get up 30 minutes early or longer before I worked on my homework and then went on to school and then went on to my full-time job and then come back home. And let me just tell you about a typical way it was this way. I had decided in 1974 to read the Bible through. That's the first time I ever read the Bible through. And that's when God really worked in my heart and I answered the call to go to college and to study for the ministry. I had preached before then and I had been active in children's churches, teaching Sunday school, working with teenagers, driving buses. I mean, I preached in other churches and all kinds of things like that at that time. But God spoke to my heart. Let me know, well, you know, that wasn't my call was for you to go off into full time and you're doing those things on the side to soothe your conscience. I knew he was right. But I read the Bible through and all of a sudden my dad, who was my pastor, his preaching all of a sudden had a whole lot more depth to it. And some of the sermons I'd already heard before. You see, I began to understand, I saw the continuity of the Bible, how it all is just one book. We say 66 books, but it's really all one book. It's the Word of God. And that's when my life changed. As a Christian, it changed. So when I got to school, I did not stop reading the Bible through each year. Sometimes I read it through two and three times a year. Now I read it through once in the first 6 months and try to spend the last 6 months looking at a book of the Bible or a chapter of the Bible even. But I'm saying all that to say this. I had to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning and study, spend my time with the Lord till 4 o'clock. 4 o'clock, I started on my books. Then I got my shower. Then I went to school. After school, if I had time, I'd come home and eat lunch. And then right back to work. Work till about 9:30 at night, come home, try to be in bed by 11, and get up again at 3. Usually about the only day I'd sleep in was Saturday. And Sunday, you know, get up and go to Sunday school and church. You had all that time in. So I'm just saying that I don't recommend doing that, going on 4 or 5 hours sleep at the most a night. But when the situation calls for it, God will give you the strength if you'll be committed to do it, to read it, to think on it, and let it guide your life. But you men, as you do that, when you get up and you read it first, think on it. When you get home, you've got something to share with your children. You've got something to share with your spouse. You've got something to share with people you work with. You've got something to share with fellow Christians. And so, you can edify believers, but you've got to be in the Word and listen to the Spirit of God teach you. And at what time you ought to be teachers, you still have need of milk. That's a shame for a Christian, as Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11 through 14 addresses. So spend that time with the Lord. Get to know Him and get to know Him intimately. Get to know Him so well. And then, as you know Him and you stand for Him, and then the attacks come, realize that when Christian people are attacking you, and even unsaved people are attacking you, realize this, and it's hard to do this. Now, let me tell you, this is hard to do, but realize there's a battle going on in them, and it's the devil. They're mad at you because they don't know any better, because they're not submitted to God. They're attacking you. They're saying all manner of evil against you falsely and all that. And they're thinking they're doing something good to do that. And they will attack you. But realize, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And those, all those devils work in people. And so, love their soul. Pray for their soul. As Jesus fought the devil by saying, it is written, you handle all attacks, you preachers especially. If you're going to take a stand, be able to back that stand up with the Word of God. Be like a engineer. Start at the first of the Bible, go through it, and just show how that doctrine, that belief, that stand is throughout the Word of God. And take your stand. And He will bless it.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name and mailing address, and include the radio station by which you are listening and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us by our website and freely download the sermons by clicking on the sermon library. That site is www.centralbaptistocala.org. Again, the address of Lamp and Light Broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, OCALA, Florida, 34471. And our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Dale Jackson, saying, may God's peace be with all who are in Christ Jesus.
My feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands. I will